Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why the lakefront is seemingly realistic to Kevin Warren.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Him and my son are the same.
And Solange.
Oh, it's like, Daddy, excavator.
And we didn't really specify what kind of cranes he's looking for.
I think it's birds. He's talking about like Solange, like cranes in the sky.
Cranes in the sky.
We don't have bird cranes here, do we?
Yeah, we do.
We do?
Yeah, ask Bernsie in transition tomorrow.
No.
That virgin will tell you all about it.
I don't want to ask him.
I always look for cranes in the air.
Gotta find the cranes. Dan Bernstein, our crane expert. Hi, Dan.
Why is Shane bothering me in the middle of my workout?
That's a good question.
You're our crane guy. Are there cranes in the sky?
Call Crane Kenny.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Here's what's really interesting. Just a couple of weeks ago, my dad and I, it was a beautiful Saturday or Sunday. My dad and I decided we were going to go for a walk. And there was a nature preserve just north of where my parents live. I think it's technically Lake Forest. And it's called the Middle Fork Nature Preserve. And I'm looking around, and there are sandhill cranes everywhere. These are massive birds that are instantly recognizable because of the streak of red on their head. They're known for their famous mating dance that you've seen, like, the kids perform on Letterman for years.
Is there a second half to this story, or was that the dramatic finish? $5.
Go away.
And they're everywhere.
This is too much, Dan.
You're going to get to the interesting part, right?
Just tell us about which cranes are
here. Here's the thing. I look at the distance, and I said, wow, what is that built? Oh, that's the Walter Payton Center. The Sandhill Cranes are at Hallis Hall.
So
Kevin Warren should see plenty of cranes.
So both kinds.
And you look around, and there were cranes everywhere.
Both kinds. He likes both kinds.
That's really interesting.
All right, Dan.
You called me, bitch.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thank you for hanging out. It is Parkins and Spiegel. That was Dan Bernstein yesterday. You could see him with Layla and Lawrence at Wings and Rings on Halstead tomorrow. They're with Modelo ahead of the Sox opener. Then ahead of the Cubs opener, that show was with BetMGM at Sluggers, which is very exciting.
Yeah, you know, Wings and Rings, they used to have the buffalo on top. They dropped the buffalo because you can get all kinds of wings at Wings and Rings. That's the old school name. So I'm definitely going to swing by over there some point before the show. Not very, very much not far from my neighborhood. So go and swing by, say hello.
Hey, you should go check that out. I don't think I will be able to make it tomorrow, just given how much of my life I spend in traffic right now. But I will be at their broadcast at Sluggers before the Cubs opener on Monday.
Let's go. And I will both be there on Monday.
And Tanny.
Yeah? Yeah, we're all going to go to Sluggers, yep, right?
Yeah, we have a table reserved for the four of us. We're going to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I don't know if I can get there that early. But
or at all, really.
Yeah, Tanny doesn't know if he's going to be there at all.
CPS off day speaks on Monday.
They snuck one in on us. So at least, yeah. Maybe it's just my kid's school. But
those
look that up. Yeah.
Yep.
Spring break, and then here's one on the back end for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I there were a couple of days this week where I was like, do I have to work from home? No, not quite. Almost.
But close.
Yeah.
That happens.
Close. It happens. But, you know, the Rooster's 12. He can hang if I need him to.
Quick, funny 4-year-old spring break story.
Sure.
So it's, you know, he's in like a 3-day-a-week part-time preschool situation.
And so now he's on spring break. So he's down in Florida, like drinking and partying at the beach.
So apparently, you know, it was like at circle time or whatever. Is anyone going away for spring break? And some kids, a lot of kids were.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Florida, going to Mexico or whatever. Uh-huh. Owen said he was going to Florida and Mexico because he didn't want to feel left out.
Oh, boy.
So they're like, oh, okay, good for you, Owen. Yeah, go to Florida.
Too early for the lying lesson at four, you know? So, Owen, this is the truth, and here is what you said.
Yeah, too early, but we had parent-teacher conferences, and so the teacher was like,
how was Mexico and Florida?
No, it was before it. She's like, so are you guys going anywhere for spring break? And we're like, no. And they're like, because, you know, he doesn't have older siblings who are in school that matters or whatever. Like, we're not going to do vacations around 4-year-old spring break.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't think so, because what Owen said didn't make any sense. He said he was going to Florida and Mexico. So
just be a waste of spring break to add some travel right there in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
One or the other, Owen.
Seemed very silly. So anyway.
Oh, wow.
So much happened yesterday with the owner of the team, the general manager of the team. Everyone was talking at these meetings. We didn't get to a ton of what Matt Eberflus had to say. And there were a few things that actually were relevant, some might say. And we will, including one thing that I think is going to upset you a great deal.
Upset me?
Yeah, so we'll build to that.
Oh, goodness.
At the beginning, here's how Flus is talking about the breakup with Justin.
You know, Justin Fields, you know, when Brian and I were at my house calling him, obviously a very difficult decision that we had to make, but we thought it was, you know, the right decision for everybody involved. And, you know, Justin and I have built a relationship over the last 2 years, and I just wished him the best and told him that I love him, and, you know, we'll continue our friendship. You know, if everyone wants to call or visit, you know, we'll definitely do that, but that was really the extent of the conversation. He's a leader. He's got great personality, and you're going to get a guy that's a dynamic worker. He's going to work from, you know, when he's going to be the first guy in, the last guy to leave, so an outstanding person and a great worker.
Man,
I believe all of that.
I believe all of that. Absolutely. And I think when you pair that with the opportunity and with Arthur Smith, who is a creative offensive mind in terms of the run game and a willingness to utilize folks, I think it could be a good spot for Justin.
Well, I also think, especially thinking about this with you, how much you care about the soft factors and all of that.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is weird. Justin Fields is as cool and popular of a player in a locker room that I've ever encountered for someone who's not a great player. And maybe he will be a great player one day, but he certainly was not a consistently great player when he was here, and they all revered him.
Mm-hmm.
So, if
let's ride. Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect.
Okay.
One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Dude.
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
The outtake got released by accident?
Or on purpose? But
that's so weird. That is so, that's like A-Rod level self-awareness and, like, you know, just completely arrogant.
Like, who do you think
narcissism
Steelers players, if they got to vote,
Justin Fields
would want to be their leader?
Well, yeah, on the human level and on the soft factors, but man, Russ can still play. You know me, like, man, yeah. I've been on that. And you look at those numbers in Denver.
Some of it was, I think those numbers lie a little bit.
I saw that Sunday night game where he led them back and made crazy, crazy plays. Was the Bills? Is that what it was? I forget exactly who they were playing, but it was like, yeah, Russell. I think Russ can still cook. I actually do believe that. And Sean Payton is a bad fit for him.
I'll take Justin over Russ.
Yeah, I mean, in
terms
of
Russ can get George Pickens the ball.
Yeah, Whoever can get George Pickens,
they're going to be fine. Yeah, someone has to.
Yeah, whoever can get George Pickens the ball is probably going to be the guy who wins the job. Here is Matt Eberflus on his visit with Caleb Williams.
It was a really good visit out to USC in the pro day. You know, we went to dinner the night before with several of the players on the USC team that are draft eligible, and it was great to see him interact. You know, great personality, great character. You could see that easily during the dinner. And then the next day, we spent some time, doing the football. Knowledge and all those things, but I started out about an hour and 20 minutes, just him and I in the room together, and just really hearing his journey, from being a little guy, and what I gleaned from that was how his mother and father love him very much, and very supportive, and you could see his character, his football character there, his football knowledge as I talked through that, and it was a really good visit.
Man, it's cool to hear that stuff from Flus, who had an opportunity to connect, and from Poles, who had an opportunity to, like, legit connect and check him out, because that stuff matters so much. It's amazing how much went on in their time together out in Cali, isn't it? Like, some install of Bears offense, like a little bit of that. Like, they dissected some of the USC stuff in terms of what were you thinking? We've seen this play. Tell us what you think about this stuff. But they gave him some Bears stuff that they're going to go back and check on with him when he comes into town for his visit here. Like, I hadn't even really conceived of that. He's got some Bears playbook stuff already.
Yeah. It's an interesting – they were talking about install – the idea, it's so obvious that it's happening. I mean, Caleb Grant, he was in the room with Matt Eberflus for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
An hour and 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of time before your pro day. So I thought that all was pretty positive. Thomas Brown was brought up with Matt Eberflus, and this is a name that we should be mentioning maybe not as often because he's not the play caller, but almost as often as we mentioned Shane Waldron.
Thomas has been outstanding, and we're fortunate to have him. You know, he had several offensive coordinator interviews, head coaching interviews, so he's been kind of a hot guy the last couple years, and we're fortunate to have him. And his experience with Bryce is something that we leaned on, in terms of taking, the first, quarterback at the first pick and all that. So it's important that we got the information from him of what his process was with Bryce, and what we can learn and adjust, from that process. So it's been great, and I've had, Shane and obviously Simo, and Thomas, in my office a few times talking about, their relationship, and how they operate together, how they communicate to put this offense together with the rest of the offensive staff. And it's important that those guys are always working lockstep together, in the protection, in the pass game, in the run game.
Man, Thomas Brown is a great piece on this coaching staff. And we've talked about this, and I'm really interested in what his role is going to be and could be in the future. Passing game coordinator, but very much groomed to be a future head coach by his mentor, Sean McVay. And I love that specific stuff about being there when they had their visit with Bryce Young last year as a Panther. We don't know whether he was a Bryce Young guy. Maybe he was a CJ Stroud guy. We don't know exactly how that played out, but he was in on all those conversations and that whole process. And of course, the install of the offense with Bryce Young and the absolute freaking chaos that went on in Carolina during the year. There's a lot of experience there to grow from and learn from.
Yeah, and it's weird. We keep hearing from people on Shane Waldron. We kind of scoffed a little bit when it was Softy Mahler because of Softy's delivery, frankly.
How about today from Brock Heward? Right?
Brock Heward brought it up again about Shane Waldron would need to learn more about presence and connecting with, being a leader of men and all that at the front of the room.
Yeah.
Not head coach material. Then we heard it. We got the Jackson Smith and Jigba thing from the CHGO guys when they were at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff that's coming up about Waldron that sounds like really smart guy, really bright offensive mind, really good play caller even, but maybe peaking as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, maybe
not a head coach.
And also, like, commanding the room, and Hewitt Brock was talking during polls position today, which was a great segment. If you missed it, make sure you go back and hear that on the Washington players like Roma Dunze, but also on Shane Waldron, was talking about calling plays with conviction. That's what Brock was talking about. Like, your players got to believe that you know exactly what you want to do and you believe in it so they can believe in it. And that can be a tricky thing. I also, like, I always am interested in thinking about coaching staffs in terms of the personality mix. Like, somebody's got to be, sometimes somebody has to be the good cop, somebody has to be the bad cop.
Yep.
You know, and if Shane Waldron's not going to command that room as the bad cop, that's okay as an OC.
Definitely.
But better have somebody to do it with Caleb. Maybe it's Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach. I don't know about his personality. Maybe it's Thomas Brown, you know? So it's like the personality mix in teaching these guys and molding these guys matters a great deal.
When it made the job more attractive because of the opportunity to coach Caleb Williams. And so hopefully these guys were not good enough to get head coaching opportunities, but hopefully they are the best of the rest. This is the one that I think is going to upset you. Does not sound like more resources are going to be applied to the center position.
Very important for a young quarterback to have that center, experience, be able to call and make adjustments, to the protections, to help and assist that way. So we thought it was critical to get that piece, and Ryan fits that bill, and we're excited to have him. You know, he's been a pro a long time, and he's moved along, the line inside there, so a guard and center. So it's good to have that position flex as well. But yeah, that's a critical piece.
Talking about it as a critical piece, solidifying the position for a rookie quarterback, Ryan Bates. That's your center. They liked him before. They're trusting their evaluation. They gave up a resource for him. We could count it on draft day. They only got 4 picks right now.
Yeah.
But polls said yesterday, he's like, but we still have 25 picks in a 3-year window. So he likes the overall numbers of guys on rookie contracts. But that is your center.
Yeah. I mean, look, they signed, who's it? Coleman Shelton is the name from the Rams, but he's making less. Bates is making more. I'm worried because Buffalo traded him for a 5 and then cut their center.
Yeah, Buffalo didn't want him. Didn't want the first string center or the second.
Or the second string center. And if the Bears had known they were going to cut the first string center, they probably just could have waited and then picked up the second string center when they cut both of them, because they're clearly going a new direction.
Yeah, I'm not even saying that the operation here to get him is correct.
I'm just worried
I'm saying he's going to be the center.
I'm worried that they're just assigning this guy and trusting this guy when the last one that they signed and trusted and assigned was Lucas Patrick, and he couldn't play the freaking position. So I'm sure they like him as a person, and maybe they even like him as a leader and with some toughness, and as long as he's strong enough and good enough, because Lucas Patrick sure as hell wasn't. And I'd rather see a legit asset, at an important time assigned to the center position.
Well, I mean, he's on a multi-year deal. It's not like he's playing for the veteran minimum. It's not like he's a fifth round pick.
Well, that's what they traded.
But that's what I'm saying. They gave up a fifth round. They
for a team that didn't want him.
But they are paying Ryan Bates more than you would pay a fifth round pick.
I don't trust them on centers. I just don't.
I don't get that logic, though.
Well, let me tell you, because it's not just Patrick. It's Cody Whitehair, who had no business being asked to be a center again when he couldn't shotgun snap 3 years ago, and they didn't do their freaking research, and they asked him to do it again.
No, I understand that point. It obviously has not gone well with center in the 2 years that Ryan Poles has been here. I guess I'm saying that, like, I don't hold Chase Claypool against Keenan Allen or Montez Sweat. Those are traded picks for veterans, right? We like the Keenan Allen move. We like the Montez Sweat move. Those are trading of draft picks for veteran players.
But I don't
believe that Ryan Poles is, like, uniquely bad at scouting center as a former offensive lineman, but he's been good at finding Braxton Jones and a spot for Tevin Jenkins and drafting Darnell Wright. But the only offensive line position he can't scout is center.
But let's do apples to apples and say Chase Claypool to Keenan Allen instead of Montez Sweat. Keenan Allen's a proven pro, and they trade for that. But, like, otherwise in wide receivers, like, I'm not sure I'd trust him at wide receivers. I think GMs could have blind spots. I mean, Velus Jones, Tyler Scott do anything for you? I mean, Keenan Allen's a no-brainer. Obviously, DJ Moore is a no-brainer, but those are veterans who had already done it.
See, yeah, here. I think
I think center could be a blind spot. I know you disagree because of what, Creed Humphrey?
Yeah. was one of the best centers in the league. He was the director of, and I just I think that you could hit or miss on any position. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are GMs that are uniquely qualified at being good at. I'm good at corner, D tackle, offensive tackle, receiver, and running back, but I'm bad at quarterback, linebacker, and safety. Like I don't think that there's huge scouting staffs. There's a bunch of people that go into this sort of
but
thing.
But I think it's absolutely a plausible theory that certain personnel guys and decision makers are worse at evaluating certain positions. I think that makes a lot of sense to me anyway. But either way, I'm not cynical about much, but I am cynical about the way they view and value the center position.
Well, they have a guy who they seem to like, and Ryan Bates is going to be the guy. Let's get to Nico Horner, right? Nico Horner is going to join us. One of the best weekly conversations that I've ever been a part of, and he's into it, and he's joining us ahead of opening day, and he's coming off of a career year, and he's been working on stuff, and we always learn things from, and we're going to play him the promo. The new promo for Cubs baseball. I can't imagine what his response will be. We like to surprise him with some stuff. It's coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Leading off for the Parkinson Spiegel Show, number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Oh, you know it. And all of your Chicago Cubbies imagine hearing Nico Horner, Ole Hendricks, Michael Tauchmann. That's so fun.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkinson Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny. Good segment.
Taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse all season long.
It's a beautiful day.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? A very big congratulations on the gold glove you've won with the National League, mate. Keep rocking it, mate. You're a rock star in your own world there, and you're spreading lots of love.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
Lou LeBorg, fake Bono.
Serbian Bono.
We really appreciate a man of Nico Horner's status dealing with us idiots weekly throughout the baseball season. He's in his hotel room in Texas ahead of opening day. He's on Twitch and YouTube on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. What's up, Nico?
Hi, guys. Yeah, those were some fun little memories, a little urine recap, it felt like.
Yeah, ready to do it all again, man. And we actually have something special to play for you before the end of this conversation. So that's a tease. Just get ready. But
can't wait.
You feeling ready? How you feeling ahead of this opening day compared to the other ones that you've been a part of?
First one on the road for me personally, so that's a little different. It's kind of cool though, because it kind of feels like we get like two opening days in some ways, because there's the road one, which is obviously significant, and then playing at Wrigley for the first time, obviously incredibly exciting. So kind of nice to have two of those experiences. But as far as what it feels like compared to previous years, I think just the group itself feels a lot more tight-knit and together than the last several years. We have feel like a better sense of identity and things going into a season. And I'm not going to sit here and make predictions based on that, but it feels really good, and I'm excited about it.
We'll go ahead and make predictions. I guess we haven't been on the record on it, but I think you guys are going to win that division, man. I mean, it just feels right. And I got to say, I've never been more curious to watch a manager's effect on a ball club or organization. You know what I mean? Are you curious about that part of it too with Craig?
Yeah. I mean, I think for the tone that he set in camp was great. I think, you know, everything was very smooth and people are getting along well, but obviously the season is the real test, both, you know, for everybody, players, managers, you guys. but it's
that's the one that matters most, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, we're excited, and I'm interested to see how he uses the team for sure. I mean, especially our bullpen is incredibly deep, and I think have a real chance for that to be a big strength of ours. And I know he's had a lot of success with that in the past.
I didn't see you when I was out there, man. I looked for you in the clubhouse, but Nico was, you know, you must have been hard at work.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. but it did. Two dudes talked football in my face for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
Do you know who they? Can you guess who they were? Who were the players who looked at me and said, "Speegs, when you said this about Greg Roman, I wanted to punch my radio." Who was that?
Talkman would be one of them.
Nailed it.
He feels like he's probably the biggest Bears fan, I think, on the team.
Yeah.
Definitely the most locked in that area. Dansby's got a lot of football opinions.
Nailed it.
Right. You're right.
Ding. And like, so that's your guy, your middle infield mate, Dansby. And there was one moment where like Dansby turned to Talkman and said, "Hey, remember what I said the other day?" And Talkman said, "No, I don't remember, actually." And Dansby was like really hurt, like clearly. So they've got a thing, man. They must talk football all the time. Do you join them at that?
I'm pretty far out on the football conversations, to be honest. I played in the fantasy league and all that and kept up, but those guys are living and dying by it, which I can't quite relate to.
Man, that's crazy. Well, I saw Council out there with his glove on teaching some infield technique. I think it was Chase Strumpf he was working with out in the little the little half field out there. But like, so I mean, that's a very accomplished major league infielder who likes to teach drills. Did you deal directly with Craig? Did you guys talk second base technique and stuff?
No, I actually haven't. I think one thing that's actually really cool about how he handled the spring is he did a great job of setting a tone and expectations, but then he really, really trusts his staff a lot. And I think was pretty intentional about, you know, letting guys really run their own areas and staying pretty hands-off. Obviously he loves to talk the game and things like that, but I thought was really impressive was just his ability to trust people that honestly he was still building relationships and things like that, but that goes a long way. So that was cool to see.
So when he sets expectations, what does that look like or sound like?
Yeah, it's not they're a lot more, you know, process based, but a lot of it is challenging us as a group to be unite in a lot of ways and to take care of teammates and to check in on teammates and just kind of having that be a standard. And obviously you can't exactly tell a team how to act or what to do to get along or, you know, set up dinners for guys or things like that, you know, but it's just that expectation of the group being social and relying on each other and knowing that, you know, those are the kind of people that get you through challenging things throughout a season and really make a difference.
Did you take part in the Q&A thing that he apparently did in the clubhouse?
Oh yeah, those were great. They went so well. I never got called up there. I guess wasn't interesting. Well, they would kind of choose like a veteran and a young guy each day, and maybe I didn't like fit the mold for either one. I don't know, but
yeah, I didn't get a lot of the details in what had come out in the piece on the Athletic. So like, can you what give us a for instance, what was it like?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they talked about either. I didn't see that article or anything, but it was just a nice, very open floor for just to get to know a person And some of them were more serious and some were really lighthearted. And even guys, it's just cool because even guys you played with for a really long time, there's still things that, you know, we skip over or miss or forget. And just nice to know the background and some of the why behind how guys get to this place in the, at all. It's so cool.
Yeah.
We should do that with you sometime. I mean, we ask you questions all the time, but we're available for questions. If you ever have any for us, we should turn the tables at some point during these interviews, Nico.
Yeah. I mean, you guys might know me better than some of my teammates. You got 20 straight minutes. I don't really have to do that at the field too often.
Yeah. We probably do at this point. And we're only going to get to know you better. The questions are going to be more prying. Uh-huh. It's going to be deeper. It's going to be good investigative journalism. But we talked a little bit at Cubs convention. You obviously are coming off this, this career year, this excellent season, but you're always working on things. What did you work on? And do you feel like it was successful in the spring? Where do you feel like you're at individually?
I mean, at the heart of it all is being able to be available as much as you can and trusting that, you know, there's going to be different versions of ourselves that show up every year, but I trust that if I'm out there for, close to a full season, then I'm going to produce at a pretty high level. And so just feel really good about where I'm at physically. As far as my game itself, it's kind of funny because sometimes, and obviously such a big part of my game is on the bases and playing defense. And when you can kind of go like several games in a row without like getting a play, and then where, you know, you're not really stealing as many bags in spring or like pushing it on the bases. So there's some games, especially when I wasn't hitting well and kind of felt like I was just doing cardio on and off the field for a while. Wasn't impacting too much, but I didn't get great results in spring as a hitter, as far as performance goes. Oops, sorry. But I'm really excited about the relationships I have with the hitting coaches and the staff there. I think it's valuable in spring to go through challenging times, just like always, and kind of learning what those relationships are like and different helpful things to get through things that are hard. So feeling good.
Yeah, it was going to ask about the numbers, the spring numbers, which are low, but you kind of talked about it right there. So, but you said with the hitting coaches, John Maley's back. Did you work with John last time he was here, or was he already gone by the time you got here?
Yeah, I didn't get Mills in his first stint with the Cubs. He was with us in AAA last year, so I got to know him some just in spring training, and he was around the team some, but this is kind of our first extended stretch together, and nice to talk through things in the spring and some of the off season. But I think his impact for the group is really going to be during the season, and a lot of experience in prepping on the approach side and team approach and talking about pitchers. And I feel really good about where we're at and some of the language that we're using on that. And it takes time, so it's valuable to start to get to know some of those words and relationships and in spring training, and I'm excited to see that play out during the year for sure.
So we're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. We going over or under 43 stolen bases last year's total?
I don't know. I mean, the first like 2 weeks, I feel like had a pretty significant chunk of those last year, to where I think there was some adjustments going on in the league to some of the rules. So, We'll see. Okay. Hopefully they're significant bases, helping win games.
There you go.
Well,
I was going crazy for a little bit.
Yeah, you were.
We'll see.
But that's interesting because it makes me wonder about the mindset of the team and of the manager and whether like will you have the same kind of green light, you think?
I think we're in a good spot to steal bags. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, I was reading about it, Nico. Like, league-wide, it was an 80% success rate, man. It's really crazy. So, and now that that data is out there, a lot of teams are going to get more aggressive. Supposedly, like, surprise, surprise, the Tampa Bay Rays have an unbelievably fast roster. They've allotted a whole bunch of resources to studying pickoff moves and stuff like that. And they're going to try to break a stolen base record or, you know, get to 200 or 250 this year. So I wondered if that stuff had come up in camp at all, like league-wide stolen bases might actually climb, even though they climbed last year too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anytime in our game something is having success, like people are going to double down on it until something stops it, right? And, you know, the rules obviously favor it. And there's a lot of athleticism in the game. I feel like it just hasn't been really emphasized for a while. So now that it is, I think you'll see no reason you won't see even more this year. But I think some pitchers will get better with how they handle the runners after a year of going through it, and teams will adjust in that way. But yeah, I mean, I think we're ready to take some bags for sure. We don't have that many burners, but we got a good amount of good athletes, I feel like, that can do it situationally.
Hey, Danny, when you were asking about 43 steals over under, were you thinking about our bets that we made as a show?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
What do we have? I had Nico, I've got you with more stolen.
Are you guys allowed to bet on baseball?
You think I'm watching 150 regular season baseball games without betting on it?
I feel like you're too closely related in some way to be legally allowed.
No.
Yet I don't win.
Never mind.
We use
I don't win.
We use our
I figured, but
we use our interpreter. We use our interpreter. That's just easier. You know what
okay.
I mean?
You walked into it.
Hey, you set us up, man. You know?
Speaks was going to make it uncomfortable.
That's a layup.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you for understanding.
Yeah. No, I'm going to try to win this year, though. All right. I'm going to try to win.
No, but these are just like show bets. We just check them out during the course of the year. So mine was, I think you're going to have more stolen bases than the top two White Sox stolen base leaders combined. Because Luis Robert had 17. Nicky Lopez is like projected for 10.
He's fast.
He is. You know Nicky? Do you know Nicky Lopez?
I got no gambling insight for you.
Okay. No, we're not asking you for gambling.
No, we're not.
We
worried.
Would never do that to you.
Yeah.
Hap was on earlier today. He's obviously, you know, been told that he's going to be the leadoff hitter for the opener against righties. Do you think you'll get a shot at it against lefties?
I don't know. But I'll be ready for whatever it is. I think, lineup instruction is obviously something that gets a lot of attention, especially in spring training, like when everyone's trying to do the optimal everything, and then things just kind of happen throughout the year and come and go and flow. But I do think we have like some good hard decisions within our lineup, just because there is a lot of depth, and I think you could roll the lineup around in a lot of directions and have success, which is obviously a good thing. You know, I think there's advantages to pretty much every part of the lineup, but not a whole lot changes individually. So, yeah.
How would you be all right with bouncing around the lineup a little more than you did last year? Because I think he's going to be looking at matchups like very specifically, and you might mm-hmm. you might have to have some flexibility, right?
Yeah, totally. I think in 22. I was in a good variety of spots that year. I think I started the year around ninth. I probably hit mainly fifth, but there was some other variations that it really doesn't matter too much. Beyond leadoff does feel different sometimes, just with the first at bat, you can kind of like feel a little different just starting the game. But other than that, I think it ends up rolling pretty similarly.
You know, Ian was talking about leadoff today on the show and was saying that it's a matter of, for him, just doing what he does best in terms of every at bat, having his normal at bat. So keep being me, you know. And
yeah,
he's a guy
he's so impressive,
right? And
he's a guy that it'll be like a 15-2 game, winning or losing, and like you can't really tell by how he's carrying himself or like the intent behind the swings and the takes, like if it's any different than like big situations. And like, that's just so admirable and something you don't really get a feel for unless you play with a guy, and like his consistency mentally is pretty incredible. So definitely have a lot of confidence in him to do what he's actually saying, because most people don't do what they say.
All
in,
right.
In life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good life lesson.
Yeah. I mean, it's just easy to say that you're not going to like change or like do different things. And like the game is challenging and brings up clutter that gets in the way of being yourself. And he's really good at sticking to that.
All right, so you're a pretty level-headed, even-keeled guy. I'm sure you get a little amped up for opening day and Wrigley and all of that. But baseball, it's a grind. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Most people don't, you know, treat it like a football game or an Avengers movie or something like that. But we wanted to play this for you because apparently, you know, our boss, we're the home of the Cubs here on the radio, and everyone's very excited about Cubs baseball. And apparently the normal promos we're not cutting it. They'd have, like, you know, me or Speaks be like, you know, Cubs baseball on the score.
Yay.
And, you know, we would do our little promo things. And so they commissioned a guy who literally does these trailers for Hollywood movies. This is 100% true. So this is the promo that is airing on the home of Cubs baseball, commissioned by us with a Hollywood movie production company to get everybody excited for your upcoming season.
The 2024 Chicago Cubs, a promising new season with lofty expectations, begins Thursday in Texas, including a Gold Glove dynamic duo of Nico Hoerner.
Diving backhand stump by Hoerner, throws to first to get him.
And Dansby Swanson.
Bear handing it to Swanson, and he throws him out at first.
Plus, comeback player of the year, Cody Bellinger.
Get out the tape measure, long gone.
And the Man of Steel, your opening day starting pitcher, Justin Steele.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Justin Steele.
And now, a new leader in the dugout, Craig Counsell.
I'm a fresh set of eyes for them.
You can be a big help being a fresh set of eyes.
A new season begins Thursday, and you have to hear it right here on your home of the Cubs, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and in Chicagoland, live on the free Odyssey app.
Your thoughts?
Boom.
Ready to run through a wall?
Right?
We're ready to play.
Nico, that guy's nickname, the voice guy's nickname, is Thunderballs. True story.
That makes sense. That's exactly what I would classify that voice as.
A Gold Glove dynamic duo of Nico Hoerner.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. We'll send that to you, man. You can use that as a ringtone if you want.
I love that. I'm locked in.
All right, man. Hey, we appreciate you being on the show again this year. Tuesdays again, right, Shane? Is it going to be the normal thing? All right.
Tuesdays, 2:30.
Tuesdays at 2:30.
Nico Hoerner, rated R.
Sometimes, I would assume.
Sometimes rated R. Yeah. We'll try to run into you before opening day at Wrigley, man. Go get him in Texas. Thank you, sir.
All right, perfect. Talk soon.
All right. There he is.
That's Nico Hoerner.
Nico Hoerner. With Parkinson Spiegel.
Rated R.
Rated R.
Sometimes.
What a stupid business. What a stupid business.
Man, he's good.
Yeah, he is. Baseball and putting up with us. We'll put a ball on this thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
Redirect.
One more day with no baseball, man.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
In fact, Counsell's on the show tomorrow, right?
Craig Counsell makes his debut on this show tomorrow.
He's going to be a regular on this show. We're going to get him every other week. Very, very exciting.
Hey, man, like you said at the convention, now I know it's real. I'm talking to Danny Parkins.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that? Something like that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was very cool. It's going to be great. Get that insight on the show.
And he's ready in Mesa. He knows that some questions will be Parkinsian and some will be Spiegelian. He knows.
And Spiegelian would be more emotional and high-minded with baseball.
I don't know.
Parkinsian will be more combative and about football.
And about arguments.
Yeah.
About logical consistency.
Again, I don't think I'm going to have him in many.
That's going to be fun to watch.
I think he's going to be good. I think I will have met my match in terms of logic and reason, at least in my 20 plus years of experience.
I think I will have met mine in baseball.
Should be
fun.
Yes. Let's see. What did we do today? Brock Heward was excellent. Nico Hoerner was excellent. Thank you to Kevin Lapka, who is always excellent. Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us feel better than we are each and every day. Hey, excellent host of categories today.
Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. And now we finish like Tommy Williams used to finish with Jason Griffin. We will hug our producers.
Yeah, we're coming for you, Shane.
R.I.P. Tommy.
Don't touch me.
R.I.P. to Tommy Williams. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hello, partner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.